We certainly understand the conditions an adult would need surgery for, but what types of problems would a child see a pediatric surgeon for? Let's find out with Dr. Elizabeth Walford, a pediatric surgeon at Gulf Coast Pediatric General Surgery. This is Helmet of Health, the podcast from Gulf Coast Pediatric General Surgery. I'm Bill Klaproth. Dr. Walford, when it comes to children, what types of problems require pediatric surgery?
Thanks, Bill. We're often called when kids are in the emergency department for things like appendicitis, gallbladder disease, hernias that are stuck out, which means incarceration, or that's the word we use. We see kids with obstruction in their intestines, congenital problems, means problems they were born with where their intestines are twisted, things like that, abscesses that get infected on the skin. We also see patients in the hospital for tumors, like cancer tumors, or consults where pediatricians may just be concerned about something going on that they can't figure out. We also see kids who are what we call neonates, babies who are in the first few months of life that are born with problems where their intestines aren't connected or their esophagus isn't connected, or even kids that are born without things like anuses. We see kids with chest cysts in the hospital. And then we also see lots of kids in the outpatient settings for things like hernias, lymph nodes that are swollen, lumps and bumps, cysts. We see breast masses in teenage girls. We treat kids who have abnormalities of their chest wall where they're shaped incorrectly and we can reshape them. And the same things that we see often in the ER, things like gallbladder problems or even problems where kids have abscesses that are infected and they can be seen as an outpatient and they're not quite sick enough to be in the hospital.
That's a long list of things. I don't think of those types of surgeries when it comes to kids.
Yeah, you would be surprised. Kids have a lot of the same problems that adults have, but they also have some unique things that happen at certain ages of life, especially the neonatal or the congenital problems that adults don't have. And that's why pediatric surgeons have to do training beyond just general surgery training.
So what are the main challenges when it comes to pediatric surgery versus adult surgery?
It's what we call a real estate problem. You don't have nearly the same amount of room and space to work in, especially if you're in a limited area like the chest or the abdomen where you can't necessarily get your whole hands into a patient. Even when we do things like laparoscopy where we use cameras and small instruments, you can't space those instruments as far apart as you could in an adult. So it does take some extra training to develop those skills and fine-tune them a little bit.
Right. So tell us about the training someone goes through to become a pediatric surgeon.
So obviously we do medical school just like everybody else. And then for pediatric surgery, you have to first do general surgery. So all pediatric surgeons have done a regular 5+ year general surgery residency and are board certified in general surgery. Once you do all of that, if you want to do the extra training it requires to do pediatric surgery, you have to do at least 2 more years of training at an institution that is certified for pediatric surgery. And then a lot of people do research on top of that as well. So it's a minimum of 5 years of general surgery and 2 years of pediatric surgery, but most people don't make it through that quickly because of extra research hoops and stuff that they jump through.
So Dr. Walford, let's turn to the parents, because I'm sure having a child that needs surgery can be gut-wrenching. What can they expect on the day of surgery?
Parents are obviously and understandably super anxious about the day of surgery. Most kids who are having surgery with a pediatric surgeon are going to a place where the hospital and the operating room is set up for them. And there's a team that specifically is used to working with kids. And because of that, we can make it a lot better experience than if you take your kid into a hospital that only sees adults. We have special protocols so that we don't have to give IV or put IVs into kids until they're already asleep from something like laughing gas, so that it's not traumatic for them. We, a lot of times, will use sutures that are dissolvable so that we don't have to take them out while the patient is awake. We have nurses and teams that are used to interacting with kids that make the separation from the parent when they go back to the operating room not a really dramatic experience, if you will.
Right. So you're trying to play that down and everything's good, everything's cool here. So that's really important. And what about parents? How can they help prepare their child for the surgery?
A lot of that depends on the age of the kid, right? Because if you have a neonate or a six-month-old, other than them being hungry that morning and screaming and crying because they're hungry, there's not really anything that you have to help them with. A 15-year-old kid going for surgery is fully able to have a conversation with me and understand what's going on. It's sort of the 4 to 5-year-old age group or the 3 to 5-year-old age group that really takes a lot of nuance. Working with them, trying to make them comfortable with a stranger or a group of strangers in the operating room, and understanding that they're going to have pain and limitations afterwards. And that's a difficult group for anybody to work with.
So let's talk about that afterwards. What should parents know when bringing the child home after surgery?
So for pediatric surgery, even if we're doing a big abdominal or chest incision, you don't have to really have anything at home as far as mobility problems or anything like that. These kids should be able to walk up a flight of stairs. They should be able to sleep in their own bed. Occasionally, you may need some wound care things like ointment, but you'll either have them from the hospital or we'll have told you in advance so you can get them. Depending on the level of surgery and the pain afterwards, you may have a prescription for some narcotics. And a lot of times, especially the younger kids, do better with Tylenol and Motrin and don't even need the narcotics. Now, if your child is having orthopedic surgery, which is a bone surgery or spine surgery or something like that, then all bets are off and they may need different equipment for the home in order to get around or get to and from their bedroom or sofa or that sort of thing.
Well, those are good things to remember as well. And as we wrap up, any final thoughts, Dr. Walford?
The one message I would like to get across is that if you have an option in your area to see a pediatric surgeon and your child is under 18, we've got extra training above and beyond what the general surgeons get. And I think there's a lot of value there. So, you know, if you go in, your kid has appendicitis and you're in the emergency department, or your kid has a hernia and you're an outpatient, you should ask to see a pediatric surgeon if that's available, instead of just seeing someone who's used to treating adults all the time.
Yeah, that's a great tip and one many parents may not have thought of. Dr. Walford, thank you so much for your time. And for more information on pediatric surgery or to get connected with Dr. Walford or another provider, head on over to gcpediatricsurgery.com. That's gcpediatricsurgery.com. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is Helmet of Health, the podcast from Gulf Coast Pediatric General Surgery. Thanks for listening.